Salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Talbert. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using the 1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to, you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang, he's a man that's on the move. and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel, the Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Oh, you have Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you, me, M's dad, and Sister Lila.
All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to give a little outline of our program tonight so that Lila and everybody will know where we're going tonight. First of all, of course, we've been studying angels, and we finished the topic of regular Joe angels. Now we're starting into the angel of the Lord. Now, Ruth, you yourself know that a lot of people have heard that saying, and some people say that's Jesus. Some people say that's the other things. And what does the Bible have to say about the angel of the Lord? Who is the angel of the Lord? Okay, so that's what we're going to find out starting tonight. We're going to find out what the scripture has to say about the angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? What does the scriptures actually have to say about him? Not what I have to say, not what every Joe, Tom, Dick, and Harry has to say, but what does the Bible say the angel of the Lord is? Who is the angel of the Lord? And then, of course, we have Emily. And we're fast approaching the end of her time with the song and poem, and we'll be very soon turning it over to Six to see how he does with our song and poem. So the last few attempts for Emily, we're going to see if she goes out with a bang, so to speak, if she gets the correct buzzer or the wrong buzzer. Of course, if she gets a wrong buzzer, there is a chance we may use sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD and other associated disorders, so just beware of that. And then, of course, after we finish with our study on the angel of the Lord tonight, then we go into Ruth's Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
Prepared for the devil.
Ooh. So that's going to be a good question. What do we mean by prepared for the devil? Who is prepared for the devil? Why we say that? Okay? So that's going to be an interesting question. What's that talking about? All right. And so into our main part of our broadcast, and we hope everybody enjoys. Amen.
For those of you who call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your favorite angel story in all of Scripture? What is your favorite angel story in all of Scripture? Amen. But now it's time for us to get into our topic tonight of angels. In specific, tonight we're going to be looking at the Angel of the Lord, Part 1. The Angel of the Lord, Part 1. Now let's see who the Angel of the Lord actually is. Amen. And our first scripture context is found in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 14. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 14. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of your coffee. Take us there.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. and Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And they went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon me. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the Pishur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord, and spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered.
And here we find the angel of the Lord speaking to Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden, and giving her a promise. Amen. Your contact is found in Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 to 19. Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 through 19. All right, Ricky, take us there.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink.
And here we find the angel of the Lord, or angel of God, the same angel that spoke to Hagar before, now speaks to her again, telling her and showing her where this well of water is so that she can give her son drink and sustain his life. Amen. It's found in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Now, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaiah spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, Well, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, Thyself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba.
And here we find the angel of the Lord talking to Abraham as he attempts to offer his son. And then the ram is taken in his place. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. Genesis chapter 28. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and says, How dreadful is this place? This is not other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. They called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first.
And here we find the angels of God, plural, were going up and down the ladder while God was at the top. Amen. Just found in Genesis chapter 31, verses 1 to 13. Genesis chapter 31, verses 1 through 13. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. The Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance. It is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And ye knew that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered not to hurt me. She said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages. Then all the cattle bear speckled. And if you said thus, the ring straight shall be higher, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Get away the cattle of your father and give them to me. It came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred.
And here we find Jacob is being spoken to by the angel of the Lord. Amen. In our last scripture context, before Emily asked to give us the message in song and poem, is found in Genesis 32, verses 1 to 16, Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 to 16. All right, Ricky, take us there.
Went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Bethlehem. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. My servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee and 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels unto to him. Bam. And said, if Esau come to the ten company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord hath said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. For with myself I pass over this Jordan, and now I become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, and the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 mulch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said unto his servants, pass over before me and put up space betwixt drove and drove.
And we find here, once again, the angels of God meeting Jacob to help him out. So we learned so far. So far, we learned that the angel of the Lord is basically a messenger, but who his identity is so far is not yet. But we will find out, hopefully, by the end of our lesson tonight. Over to Sister Emily and see if she can give us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen. Thank you.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who speak falsely. You must stand firm, toe-to-toe, and not you hide. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I will compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostles' message still applies today. For there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light. And let his holy word in me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary. So his word, I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. So I won't compromise.
And the world walked far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song, and the church a hymn sublime. Come, give me your hand, cried the merry world, and walk with me this way. But the good church hid her snowy hand and solemnly answered, nay. I will not give you my hand at all, and I will not walk with you. Your way is the way of endless death. Your words are all untrue. Nay, walk with me, but in both days, said the world with a kindly air. The road I walk is a pleasant road, and the sun shines always there. Your path is thorny and rough and rude, and mine is broad and plain. My road is paved with flowers and gems, and yours with tears and pain. The sky above me is always blue, no want, no toil I know. The sky above you is always dark. Your lot is a lot of woe. My path, you see, is a broad, fair path, and my gate is high and wide. There is room enough for you and for me to travel side by side. Like shyly, the church approached the world and gave him her hand of snow. The old world grasped it and walked along, saying in accents low, your dress is too simple to please my taste. I will give you pearls to wear, rich velvet and silks for your graceful form, and diamonds to deck your hair. The church looked down at her plain white robes and then at the dazzling world and blushed as she saw his handsome lip with a smile contemptuous curled. I will change my dress for a costlier one, said the church with a smile of grace. Then her pure garments drifted away, and the world gave in their place. Beautiful satins and shiny silks, and roses and gems and pearls, and over her forehead her bright hair fell, crossed in a thousand curls. Your house is too plain, said the proud old world. I'll build you one like mine. Carpets of Brussels and curtains of lace and furniture ever so fine. So he built her a costly and beautiful house. Splendid it was to behold. Her sons and her beautiful daughters dwelt there, gleaming in purple and gold. And fairs and shows in the halls were held, and the world and his children were there. And laughter and music and feasts were heard in the place that was meant for prayer. She had cushioned pews for the rich and the great to sit in their pomp and their pride, while the poor folks, glad in their shabby suits, sat meekly down outside. The angel of mercy flew over the church. I know thy sin. The church looked back with a sigh and longed to gather her children in. But some were off in the midnight ball, and some were off at the play, and some were drinking in gay saloons. So she quietly went her way. The sly world gallantly said to her, your children meant no harm, merely indulging in innocent sports. So she leaned on his proffered arm and smiled and chatted and gathered flowers as she walked along with the world, while millions and millions of deathless souls to the horrible pit were hurled. Your preachers are all too old and plain, said the gay old world with a sneer. They frighten my children with dreadful tales, which I like not for them to hear. They talk of brimstone and fire and pain, and of horrors of endless night. They talk of a place that should not be mentioned to ears polite. I will send you some of the better stamp, brilliant and gay and fast. We'll tell them that people may live as they list and go to heaven at last. The Father is merciful and great and good, tender and true and kind. Do you think he would take one child to heaven and leave the rest behind? So he filled his house with gay divines, gifted and great and learned, and the plain old men that preached the cross were out of the pulpit turned. You give too much to the poor, said the world, far more than you ought to do. The poor need shelter and food and clothes. Why need it trouble you? Go, take your money and buy a rich robe and horses and carriage fine and pearls and jewels and dainty food and the rarest and costliest wine. My children, they dote on all such things, and if you their love could win, you must do as they do and walk in the ways that they are walking in. The church held tightly the strings of her purse and gracefully lowered her head and simpered, I've given too much away. I'll do, sir, as you have said. So the poor were turned from her door in scorn, and she heard not the orphans cry, and she drew her beautiful robes aside. As the widows went weeping by, the sons of the world and the sons of the church walked closely hand in heart. And only the master, who knoweth all, could tell the two apart. Then the church sat down at her ease and said, I am rich and in goods increased. I have need of nothing and not to do but to laugh and dance and feast. The sly world heard her and laughed in his sleeve and mockingly set aside, the church is fallen, the beautiful church, and her shame is her boast and pride. The angel drew near to the mercy seat and whispered in sighs her name. And the saints, their anthems of rapture hushed and covered their heads with shame. And a voice came down through the hush of heaven from him who sat on the throne. I know thy works and how thou hast said, I am rich and hast not known, that thou art naked and poor and blind and wretched before my face. Therefore, from my presence I cast thee out and brought thy name from its place.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
And more than welcome, can that song and poem was talking to salvation?
Well, in this case, you're 100% wrong. What we were looking for is don't compromise the message of the gospel. Amen.
Well, I'll be nice this week. I ain't going to blame up for shooting.
Isn't this a good plan for you, considering that you don't want to go to the spiritual woodshed, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's a good idea, I'd say. And we'll pause now for a little station ID and hear about the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the 6 Hours Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on 6 on his radio. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Bonham.
And we're flying turkey to Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the 6 Eyes
Radio Network. All right, now that we're back, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. If you have press number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments. Favorite angel story in all of Scripture. What is your favorite angel story in all of Scripture? Amen. But right now, we're going to get back into our main topic of angels, in specific, the angel of the Lord. And this is part one of the angel of the Lord, and our next scripture context is found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
And here we go tonight. We now have identification as to who the angel of the Lord is. Remember, the angel of the Lord was in the fire of the bush, and that same angel called out to Moses, and it says very plainly that that angel was God who called to Moses out of the bush. So the angel of the Lord is the Lord. The angel of the Lord is the Lord. Amen. Now, our next scripture context is found in Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 to 20. Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 to 20. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift out up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will give me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have given me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night.
Here we find the angel of God, the angel of the Lord, is in the pillar of the fire, in the pillar of the cloud, which separated Egyptians from the children of Israel. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 to 27. Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 to 27. All right, Ricky, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
In 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shall gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. But thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seize a kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for his will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring me in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and Hivites and the Jebusites, that will cut them off. I shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and shall quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will make or take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee.
And you notice here, he talks about my angel, but earlier in the text, he talks about an angel, and it turns out, it says, with my name, so it is God who goes before them. So once again, the angel of the Lord, or my angel, is God himself going before them. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Exodus chapter 32, verses 33 to 35. Exodus chapter 32, verses 33 to 35. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee, Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf, which Aaron made.
And once again, he says his mighty angel will go before thee. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Numbers 22, verses 1 to 35. Numbers 22, verses 1 to 35. All right, Ruthie, get this word and copy. Take us there.
And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there's a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Tell now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I will shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I wist that way he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. He said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God said came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there's a people. First see me them, first adventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse thee this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall do or say unto thee, thou shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and the wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, there were a sword in my hand, for now that I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, And not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day. Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam and saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Because, behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is preserved before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. And thus she turned from me. Surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way that against me. Now therefore, if it despise thee, I will get thee back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the bene, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak.
And you notice here the angel of the Lord standing in the way to bar the way of Balaam, and the ass talking to him. Amen. All right, in our last scripture context of the day, it's found in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. It came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the children and the people served their Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Eres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Joash. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel.
And here we find the angel of the Lord talking to the people about how he brought them out of Egypt. And we know, after reading everything tonight, the angel of the Lord, or my angel, as we found in other places, was God who led them out of Egypt and who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And he was the one who gave messages to the Israelites to do what he needs them to do. Amen. All right. But right now I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your favorite angel story in all of Scripture? What is your favorite angel story in all of Scripture? Amen. Right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and to pay a few bills here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Lynn Colliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in the basement,
Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program. Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is your wall open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great calling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they haul pets at one time.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2. F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. Hey, come on now.
All right.
walk among her and make her fall away. war and desolation. Nation rising against nation. Trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, the sea will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Is prepared for the devil. We're dealing specifically with the fact that God originally created an actual hell. Also, we'll discuss any other circumstances or situations that might have a relationship one to another because of that initial hell. Many people do not believe in hell, but nevertheless, if we are going to accept the Bible as God's holy word, then we must admit there is some kind of a hell somewhere in the universe. Because the law of opposite demands, if you have a heaven, you must have a hell. The Bible plainly declares God created a hell. Scripture. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41, King James Version. This portion of Scripture is saying that hell was originally prepared for Satan and his wayward angels. This is an authoritative statement that cannot be denied. Neither can it be argued away. God's word is true. There are no misfit statements in the Bible. All them for a purpose. God's word is a revelation and not always an explanation. When Lucifer, the anointed angel, was in heaven eons of ages ago, we're told that unpardonable sin came into his life. He became the first transgressor in all of God's universe. Scripture, what? Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart, sin begins in the heart, was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, Ezekiel 28, 15 and 17. The Bible is careful to tell us that Jesus Christ saw Satan, formerly Lucifer, fall to the ground. It's recorded in the third gospel to substantiate this fact. Here's the scripture. And he, Christ, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Luke 10, 18. Lucifer was thrown down to the earth. The percentage of the angels of heaven who rebelled with him were likewise cast out of the heavenly domain. They are presently being held in chains, caves of darkness, in the lower regions of the earth. Scripture, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, have reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Jude, verse 6. So, we see that Lucifer the Anointed, perfectly created angel of heaven, sinned, and because God could have nothing to do with his sin and the evil of his bewildered angelic host, they were all cast to the ground because there was no place of eternal habitation for sinful angels. God also created hell for them. Matthew 25:41. Please note that Jude 6 is also in harmony with Matthew 25:41. The creation of this hell is confirmed in the Old Testament in this manner. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Deuteronomy 32:22, KJV. So thus far, we are dealing with this challenge problem that of a literal hell. There are those who disagree with this dogmatic theology, that of a traditional hell, a logical place where the wicked shall suffer in eternal torment. Yet the scripture plainly says that God created a hell for the devil and his angels, and if a person refuses to accept the universal remedy for sin, Jesus Christ, then that person must suffer the inevitable consequences of an eternal hell. This established fact is brought out in the last book of the Bible where the scripture spotlights the white throne judgment drama and the casting of the unsaved or unredeemed into a place of torment for eternity. Here's the scripture. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast alive into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10 in your KJV Bible. So far, we have seen the biblical reason for the creation of hell and its spiritual consequences. And on the other hand, when we observe many almost incredible situations prevailing on the planet Earth, we're able to rightly comprehend certain powerful effects, which are a direct result of the literal hell God created in ages past. For instance, in the newspapers and news gathering magazines, we are constantly reading scientific articles that indirectly support the authenticated fact that God did create a hell. From the Los Angeles, California Times of March 22, 1970, we learned 600 miles beneath the Earth's surface, scientists have determined temperatures range through several thousand degrees, and pressures are more than 400,000 times greater than the atmosphere at sea level. This astonishing information was released by Dr. Thomas J. Ahearns, Associate Professor of Geophysics at Caltech. My purpose for sharing this scientific article with you is merely to support the fact that scientists are beginning to acknowledge that deep inside the Earth, there are temperatures ranging through several thousand degrees. They don't actually say so, but we know why the fire is there, and we know what the final outcome will be. The learned men know if there's an extreme temperature, then there must be a fire causing it. It's only common sense. Another scientific discovery of this present day, which supports the biblical teaching of a permanent eternal hell, is the amazing discovery of natural steam inside the earth, commonly referred to as geothermal energy. When we speak of geothermal energy, we are referring to the steam and hot water which come gushing from the lower regions of the earth at various places throughout our universe. Many of you who have taken vacations into the western part of the United States of America have visited Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming and have viewed Old Faithful, one of the famous geysers. Its most notable manifestation is the boiling and spewing forth of steam and hot water very so often. This is a great tourist attraction. It's amazing how many have seen this but don't understand why it happens. By tapping natural steam wells, it means that generative power can be produced without fossil fuels, oil, gas, or coal, which give off sulfur dioxide pollution, or nuclear reactors, which in turn create the problem of thermal pollution of adjacent streams. Geothermal power is made possible by the actual fire mingled in Mount Anger long centuries ago. The Mexican government has drilled 17 deep steam wells below the border, south of the dusty plains of Mexicali. Most of them are capped at the present time, but several have been blowing steam for equipment tests to drive the drilling apparatus being used to repair mother wells. Work on a 75,000 kilowatt generating plant began a few years ago. At this time, all 17 wells, plus three more, should be piping steam into the generators producing electricity. Just how many more will be put into operation will be determined by the economy of the country. These steam wells are not limited to any particular location. At present, there is a geothermal power plant in operation 85 miles north of San Francisco, California, an 11-year-old facility of the Pacific Gas and Electric Company called the Geysers. This plant, four operating turbo generators, inhale some 1.5 million pounds of 350-degree Fahrenheit steam every hour and give out 82,000 kilowatts of electricity. Wow. The company will soon have two more turbo generators and plans to expand the plant so that eventually will drive as much as 1 million kilowatts of power from natural steam. The Italians recognized the energy yielding value of this natural source as far back as 1777. Italy today harvests about 400,000 kilowatts of electricity from underground steam, more than a total of other geothermal exploiting nations, New Zealand, Iceland, Japan, and Russia. According to a spokesman from the University of California at Riverside, California, it is believed that along the United States-Mexican border is the largest geothermal field in the world, a 5 billion acre foot underground reservoir of steam and superheated water, which could provide enough electrical power to run 35 cities the size of San Francisco for 100 years, plus millions of gallons of irrigation water for the parched lands of the southwestern United States. Isn't that amazing? The situation is a byproduct of the fire God started in the earth long centuries ago. Moses, writing approximately 1,500 years B.C. or before Christ, declares that God started a fire in the lower regions of the earth, and that fire is burning even at this very moment, gradually consuming the crust of the earth and will eventually be responsible for the all-devouring earthquake that is to shake the earth, according to the book of Revelation, prior to Jesus Christ's second advent. Scripture, and there was a great earthquake. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Revelation 16, verses 18 through 20 in your KJV Bible. Let's look at the destructive fire in the lower regions of the earth and let's examine the oceans and the seas, and we'll get the clarifying explanation for the steam wells or the geothermal power which lies deep underground in the cavernous spaces of this planet. Scripture, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Genesis 1:9 KJV. After the floodwaters have subsided sufficiently to allow the dry land to appear, there is necessary to gather the waters into subterranean channels, and God called those places seas. Scripture, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. Genesis 1:10. Once God placed the waters of the earth in designated channels, he connected all the seas or oceans together through an inner plumbing system. Scripture, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Psalm 42:7. This word deep refers to the seas or subterranean water supply system. Once the oceans were connected together, they filtered one into the other with the hot fire inside of the earth, heating the water, which we have confirmed through scientific data shared earlier in this lesson. It has long ago been discovered there are hot streams of water coming up from the ocean floor in different parts of this planet. We call these Gulf Streams, where for several hundreds of miles along certain coastlines, there are currents of warm water gradually ascending from the floor of the ocean, creating a climate for unique marine growth caused solely by the fact that the water is heated to supply life-giving qualities because of its constant degree of warmth. This is further borne out in Scripture in the book of Job, where it declares, he maketh the deep oceans to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. Job 41:31, KJV. So we know that several sources since the center of the earth is raging for inferno, God started that fire inside the earth when he cast Lucifer out of heaven. The same fire is still raging. The scientists are beginning to recognize this fact. This technically explains why there are such places as Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. That's why we have many volcanoes such as Mount Etna in Italy. Some of you may have seen the volcanoes in Hawaii, where every so often molten lava is spewed forth from these giant craters and liquid fire flows down the mountainside, damaging property in front of it. God is giving mankind every convincing evidence that the inside of the earth is on fire. How can anyone deny this overwhelming fact? Therefore, in the closing days of this period of time known as the Church Age, scientists are making many discoveries which support the authenticity of the Scriptures. One of the tremendous proofs that the Bible is the Word of God is the confirmation of hell in the lower regions of the earth. It's true, some deny hell is a place of punishment, as many doctrinistic ministers do, yet hell is a literal place where the wicked suffer in torment awaiting the white throne judgment. After the white throne judgment, hell and death are to be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the place of eternal suffering and separation from God throughout the endless ages of God's eternities. Scripture, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20:14, KJV. When I observe scientific discoveries which authenticate the written scriptures, it takes away any possibility of doubt or frustration or hesitancy to proclaim God's word in a bold manner. Now, that mankind has lived through almost 2,000 years of the church age, we're made to realize that the inhabitants of this earth will soon be moving into a new era known as the tribulation period, 70th week of Daniel. Therefore, the harnessing of the inner facilities of this earth, steam wells, geothermal power, positively without any doubt assures us that there is a raging inferno inside this earth. Bible plainly declares that such is true. We know that God originally created hell for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Moses confirms this magnificent truth in the book of Deuteronomy, where we're told that God actually started such a fire. Deuteronomy 32:22, KJV. To amply confirm this, the scientists are drilling holes into the inner core of the earth, and they're receiving hot, gushing, hissing steam, which could only be the direct result of the oceans connected by an inner plumbing system being heated by the raging fire God started eons ago. This is a positive proof that God's word is true, because these scientific discoveries tell us what the scripture has been saying for many long centuries. God is allowing these interesting discoveries to shut the mouths of the agnostics. The unbeliever has no acceptable argument. There is a hell. Additional reports tell us that technicians through the United Nations organization are assisting 19 countries. The earth relative to geothermal power with the United States, England, Japan, Russia, New Zealand, Iceland, and Mexico operating such power plants were made to realize that that man is living in the end of the day of grace. God is in the process of bringing his age to a sudden close. Only the saved in Jesus Christ will escape the persecution of the tribulation period. God help us to be ready, for that hour is near. Man should be gratefully acknowledging the Bible as God's word and preparing himself for the day of final judgment. Because at the conclusion of his earthly reign of Jesus Christ, there will be a general, not universal, judgment for all mankind outside of Jesus Christ. By that I mean all mankind who has refused to accept the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ will be judged for his iniquities. The Bible says that that judgment runs its course. One by one, the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15 in your KJV. While that particular judgment is going on, this planet Earth is to be destroyed by fire, including the hell in the lower regions of the earth. Scripture, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10, KJV. Then God will create new heavens and a new earth. This is brought out in the same book where it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. 1 Peter 3:13, KJV. John the Apostle, writing his apocalyptic literature on the island of Patmos, prophetically foresaw the new earth because we hear him saying, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Revelation 21 and verse 1. AJB. Therefore, my dear listener, let's be conscious of the scientific discoveries around us, because practically all of them authenticate the Holy Scriptures, and many of them prove the finality of God's overall plan for this planet Earth. Most of these discoveries are in complete harmony with the Scriptures, such as the discovery of steam wells, which are producing inexpensive electric power for mankind. This energy is heating the homes and buildings in many countries of the earth. That inexhaustible energy is a byproduct of the raging fire in the earth. All this proves we are living in the last days of this age, and the soon coming of Jesus Christ draws nigh. If there was ever a time when human beings should be living righteous, holy lives, constantly doing the will of God, it is now. Just as sure you are listening to the words contained in this lesson, just that positive, someday Jesus Christ will return in the clouds of glory to receive his church. Scripture, because thou, Church of Philadelphia, hast kept the word of my patience, I, Christ, will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, tribulation period, which shall come upon all the world, mankind, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Revelation 3 and verse 10, KJV. Now, here's your scripture. For then, during Daniel's 70th week, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24:21. At the close of the tribulation period, at the second advent, he will return to judge the Gentile nations of this earth. Matthew 25:31-46. Then begins a reign of 1,000 years of righteousness upon this earth. Following the reign of righteousness will be the white throne judgment at which the destruction of this planet, earth by fire, will take place. Next comes the casting of all unregenerated people into the lake of fire, where they will remain forever and ever. My dear listener, don't let anyone try to disprove the word of God, especially about that part which talks about an everlasting fire. Prepare to the devil and his angels, says Matthew 25:41. KJV. Then remember, it's all true. God cannot lie. The exposition of future punishment in God's holy word is not to be regarded as a drunken threat, but as a merciful declaration. If in the ocean of life over which we are now sailing into eternity, there are those rocks and shoals, and it is no cruelty to chart them, and if we ignore the imminent and prominent mercy of God, we are the loser. Please remember, it's the will of God that all men everywhere repent. Acts 17:30, KJV. Hell is an actual place. And the next lesson will be the rapture winds.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for that information about being prepared for the devil. But right now we're going to pause to hear about the great programming here at the Success Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy, Rick. programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on 6 on his radio, Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. With great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
I want to remind those who call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your favorite angel story of all in all of Scripture? What is your favorite angel story in all of Scripture? At that time, it's open mic time. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
We always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the band of angels. We got you. We got Sister Emily, her dad, and Sandy.
All right. Well, considering the fact that Sandy's with us tonight, we're going to let him start us out with our question of the day and see if he's got any questions or comments.
None tonight.
I hear you, Sandy. Go ahead.
I don't got none tonight.
No questions or comments, okay? And the question of the day we had, the question of the day that we have for tonight is, what is your favorite angel story in all of Scripture?
I never had no favorite angel story.
Ah, okay. All righty. Well, then, now we'll go to Emily. Your turn.
Quite sure.
Not quite sure. All right. No specific
even
favorite, huh?
Even though I was kind of being bad over here during the programming.
Okay. But no specific angel story that's your favorite?
No.
All right. Any good questions or comments on what we presented?
No, just it was a good lesson.
Okay. All right, Ruthie, your turn.
Yeah, I think she might be my fan because, I don't know, I just try to do a good job. The Lord's with me, though, and I'm just reading from a book, so, hey, it's not that complicated.
Okay,
I did add a couple things. And as far as my angel, that's easy. The rapture. Michael the Archangel. And that's coming up in the future.
Okay, so that's your favorite angel story about Michael the Archangel and the Trump of God. Okay.
Yep, yep.
All right. Well, obviously, my favorite angel story, you guys are going to say, okay, you think it might be about Gabriel and him telling Mary about her soon-to-be son. But, nope, you'd all be actually wrong. It was the angel of the Lord when he came and told Samson's mother and father about what they had to do to prepare for Samson's arrival. And how they had prepared a sacrifice, and he went up in the flame of the sacrifice, ascended up. So that's my angel story that I like. All righty. And M, we're going to see if you're interested in helping us with a closing prayer here, and then we're going to close out with a Red Sabine song.
Not tonight, Kenny. I'm not feeling so good, sir.
All right. Well, Ruthie, we'll let you do it then.
Well, dear Lord, be with them in her condition, Lord, and you take care of her and whatever your needs are for everybody on the program, and hopefully everyone in all the 56 countries had a good time. So, Lord, just praise and bless your name for all you do, and we just want to serve you forever. Love you, precious. Amen.
All right, and we just want to remind everybody about the open programming tomorrow, as well as the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So we hope to see you there, and we're going to get out of here with this Red Sylvine song. So God bless. Catch you then.
Pick me up when my heart is on the ground. And gee, it's so nice having you so near, holding you so dear to my heart. I can't do, and